Welcome to the Rock Church of Coastal Hills with Pastor David Archibek. We now join the service in progress.
Disobedience and what the Bible talks about being stiff-necked and stubborn. And those very negative attributes will keep you from entering into your promised land. We saw that's what happened to Israel. But then we also talked, latter week, we talked about Joshua. Why was Joshua chosen to go into the promised land and lead the people? It has no previous history, very little previous history of Joshua before he leads this great multitude of, they say it's about 2 million people, but it doesn't say that he had these encounters with God. God was teaching him by his very hand and by his very oracles. It just said that Moses says, Joshua, there's the Amalekites. I want you to go fight them. And that was the first mention of Joshua. But it says he submitted to the word of the Lord. We saw one of the reasons why God chose Joshua, he was submitted to the word of the Lord. The second thing, he knew who his enemies were. And the last thing, I believe, why Joshua got picked was, get this, as Moses went up into the mountain to be in the face of God, as God spoke to him, it says Joshua would follow behind and linger in the presence of God. He wanted to be in the presence of God. I believe these are the attributes of why Joshua was chosen. And so then last week we talked about increasing your capacity. A lot of us want to go into our promised land. A lot of you want to marry the right man, and a lot of you want to have the right job, and some of us we want to have the right kids, and we want to have the right life situation, and we want to have our health, and you know what we titled the American dream. We want this. We want these things in our life. But here's the question: are you capable? Do you have the capacity to live in that place? And we see a very important principle through the scripture is this. Stewardship. Every single one of us has been given something from God. You have gifts, you have talents, you have experiences and anointings from God. But do you have the capacity to stay in the place that God has called you to? I mean, that's a good question. If God, could he trust you with promotion at the job? Could he trust you with money? As we've heard, you know, we have people think that, sometimes we have people who live on the poverty line and just low income, and then I've counseled with them. They have a tendency to think the people with money are bad people, and they're just greedy. I found out whether you're rich or poor, did you know you can be greedy? Yeah? You can have nothing and be greedy, but you can have lots and be greedier. I mean, you've seen the movie Wall Street, if you have. That's all. It's about just horrible greed. But the point is if you can't steward finances, God can't trust you. The reason being, it says in Matthew chapter 7, he says he won't cast pearls before swine. And we read last week, in Matthew 25, that every man has been given talents. One five, another two, and another one. And we talked about how to increase our personal capacity so we can enter the promised land that God has promised. So today I'm going to talk about inherit your inheritance. God has given us some things, and we're going to talk about those things. But I'm also going to talk about moving on from some points that the devil, the world, and life situations are trying to keep you anchored to. And then we're going to go on and talk about what God has for us as an inheritance. I'm going to be in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to start with verse 1. And here we go. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over to the Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your feet will tread upon, I have given you. Say that together. I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. Verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of his life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. That is a tremendous. That's probably one of the most significant promises that you can get a revelation of, because God is always going to call you to something and prepare you to, and take you to a place where you don't feel adequate or fully equipped to. But the great promise is this: I will be with you. That is, like, bar none, one of the greatest promises. And every time God gives an assignment, he says, help me out, I will be with you. Amen. Isn't that good? When Jesus, after he ascended, but as he commissioned his disciples, he said, I will surely be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. There's a powerful, powerful revelation. If we get a hold of that, that you're not alone. Look at your neighbor and say, you're not alone. I like you. Some of you even did the inflection. You're not alone. So, to inherit your inheritance, we must, I'm going to give you number one, arise and go. It says in verse 2, it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and what? Go over this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. This is important, arise and go. Why does God say this, arise and go? Because you got to realize, notice it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. You know what? He was the bright star, a light to Israel. He was Israel's connection to God. That is Moses. He spoke the word. He did great feats for God. In fact, he confronted Moses, Pharaoh. Moses confronted Pharaoh boldly. Boldly. And says, let my people go. And Pharaoh, of course, you know the discourse that happened with that. But Moses had the 12 plagues. It all flowed at his word, the judgments of God over Egypt. And it was Moses who stood over the Red Sea with his rod and split the Red Sea. It was Moses who was sought after. And he was admired. He was a leader of leaders. And you know what? He's dead. He's dead. And the propensity of men is to lean on somebody else, to trust in their walk. Some of you have great mom and dads who followed the Lord. Some of you have great influences and spiritual leaders in your life. But you know what? That's great to have that accountability and that influence. But you know what? There comes a time where every single one of us, God is calling us to have our own walk. Arise and go. Arise and go. But I can't go. I mean, Moses, I mean, he was a powerful man. I can't do this. I can't do this. And can I share something with you? A lot of times God removes very significant people in our eyes out of our life because you won't grow like you should if they're right there. You'll get complacent in your life. You know, the death. I'm going to just talk. The death. A lot of times, you're not going to go where you need to be. Let me give you an example. I can remember when Dion and I recorded our first CD. I had friends at the church. I went to a mega church in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I had friends who were musicians. I was leading praise and worship. And I kept going to these different guys who were producers. And I even gave some money, and we were recording, and it fall through. I'm like, what the heck? And this guy says, well, I can't do it. And then I go to another guy and ask him, hey, man, can you help me record? I know you're an engineer. Can you help? They'd say yes. We get moving, and then he'd fizzle out. And then, I mean, it must happen 4 or 5 times because you get excited. We had the music. You're excited about this. It's going to happen, and they'd all flake. But you know what was happening? That God was removing these people. Because you know why? What ended up happening? You know what? I got the revelation. It's like, you know what? Forget them. I'm going to do it myself. And you know what it caused me to do. It caused me to learn how to program. It caused me how to learn what bass lines and drum lines and how vocals operate and how to engineer myself, because little did I know that probably 4 years later, I was going to be asked to be the worship pastor at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. But I learned how to engineer, but I was mad at those guys. God wanted me to die to that influence of those engineers because he wanted me to grow. And I'm not trying to belittle any kind of to death. Death is a painful thing. I know many of you have even experienced the loss of a loved one. You know, and I was just actually, I read, you know, you probably heard of it if you've been watching sports, but it was on national TV, but Monty Williams, he's an assistant basketball coach to the Oklahoma NBA basketball team, Oklahoma. Is it the Thunder? Oklahoma Thunder, right? And his wife was killed last week in a head-on collision. And they tried to keep her alive for a few days. And they had the funeral. How many of y'all, anybody see the video on that? And he got up, and at first, I'm sure had five kids. And so he got up and shared about his wife. And we were going to show part of the video, but the essence of this is what really, I teared up watching it, but what captured me is he didn't talk about, and though it's very true, I'm sure he processed, he says, I'm going to miss holding her hand, I'm going to miss hanging out with her, she was an influencer. But you know what her greatest influence was? Her love for God. She spoke life and Christ to the players, to the everybody who knew her. This woman spoke the word to. And what happened? She was the very one who basically, it sounded like she's the one who got Monty serving the Lord in a strong and passionate way. And so instead of getting up there, and again, please don't think I'm belittling death, but he got up there and he talked about Christ. You could see what he filled his life with is the kingdom and the principles of God. And he actually said, you know what? My wife would punch me right now if I didn't tell you how important the kingdom of God is. He says, this is a celebration. My wife isn't lost. He says, if she were lost, then you couldn't find her. But I know exactly where she is. I know exactly where she is. And so this guy, national TV, is sharing about how powerful the kingdom and what purpose is all about. Here he's in his darkest hour, and he's preaching purpose and the calling of God. And that spoke to me because there's times, there's things that will happen that we have to die to. There are things that have died in our life. There's two aspects. You got to die to certain things, but there's things that are going to die in your life. Amen. Nothing in this world is eternal. Amen. And so Joshua would never be the general to enter into the promised land if Moses was there. Moses had run his race. Some of you, if you've experienced somebody dying in you, they've run the race. They're with the Father. But now Joshua, he can stay. And hear me out, crisis can be the very thing that catapults you into your destiny, or it could be the very anchor that keeps you from going and fulfilling your purpose in God. And God tells Joshua, Joshua, arise and go. And you know what? He has to contend with the people. And you know the people of Israel are probably saying, well, you're not Moses. Who does he think? He thinks he's Moses? I mean, where's your rod, Joshua? I mean, you know how it goes. You know how people are. So he has to step in, and everybody's questioning his motives and who made you leader? Right? He doesn't have a history, but he has to step up and arise and go. Arise and go. It's not to say he didn't mourn, and of course, it's just the culture of Israel is they would actually take a month of straight mourning when somebody, the family household would mourn. And as we know today, it takes people different times of mourning and the process of going, and you can't put a limit on it. But there comes a time, guys. arise and go. Have you experienced excruciating pain in your life? Have you experienced excruciating betrayal? I know people who've left church because they were hurt so bad by people in the church. You know, it was just a test. And are you going to process it the way God says? Or are you going to be anchored and live a very small life? Or are you going to enter the promised land as God says, go, arise and what? Arise and amen. I can hear God telling Joshua when Joshua's probably doing the, I'm not qualified. Why are you looking at me? I'm sure he had feelings of insecurity. He was deflated because his close mentor is now dead. He's going through mourning. He feels insignificant. But here's the thing. And God is saying this, when you've experienced your death, God is saying, will you take your experience? Will you take your pain? Will you? Because how many know God will never waste a good hurt in your life? He won't. He will take you and navigate with you through it, and it'll be for his glory because you have to taste of it yourself. That's why it says Jesus was touched with the feelings of our infirmities. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, he was touched. He felt it. He wasn't immune to it. He knows exactly what pain and betrayal feel like. But he'll take you through it because once you go through it, you know, you become a carrier of the anointing that brings healing for that very thing. Right, Angela? Angela suffered a loss of her husband several years ago. But you know what? She was sharing with me that on the job, she's kind of a boss, office manager. I can't remember your exact title, but people will come to her when they're going through crisis and pain because she's tasted of it. God's now helped her navigate and got victory. And now freely she received and she freely imparts. The Lord says, arise and go. Amen. Listen to this. The Apostle Paul said this in Philippians chapter 1. Verse 21 and through 24, it says, for to me, to live, if you're going to live, live is Christ. And death is tragic, horrific, and a curse. In the flesh, it is. But in the eyes of the Spirit, Paul says, to die is what? To die is what? But if I live in the flesh, he says, if I'm going to stay here, he says, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet while I shall choose, I cannot tell. I love that. You know what he's saying? I have such a relationship with Christ. I have such a responsibility to the kingdom of God that I love y'all. But I'd rather be with him. If I was given the choice, I want to be with him. And here, listen to me, you don't have to die to go be with him. You have an opportunity daily. That's what quiet time is all about. Read your Bible. You get to be with him. Amen? But listen to what he says. He says, if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit. Say fruit. That's productivity from our lives. He wants production. Increase. Amen. He says, this will mean fruit from, here's another one. Say labor. Get busy. His kingdom. He says, yet while I shall choose, I cannot tell. Verse 23, for I am hard pressed between the two. Here it is. I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. Know what he's saying? He says, I got an assignment, and I have to run my course. I got to finish my race, and I have to fulfill my assignment here. Every single one of us has that. And you could see the purpose that God was at the forefront of Paul. Just like Monty Williams, he gets up there, his wife has died, and he's saying, heaven is to gain. You got to know God. You got to know love. And he says, all this, I don't understand it. And the pain is real. But he says, this is I know. He says, all things work for the good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. I don't know. You may not understand anything. In fact, if you try to process, you get confused. But you can land on, say, all things work for the good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Amen. Keeping the purpose. You know, it's just interesting. You know, I know everybody has their different opinions about Justin Bieber. He has, you know, he's made a mess of his life in many ways. But you know what? When he hit rock bottom, he was doing drugs and he was doing wrong things, hanging out with the wrong crowd. And, of course, if you've heard any recent interviews, you know, he's got a lot of bad publicity. And rightly so over the past 2 years. It was horrible. But you know what? He goes to Hillsong in New York. I've gotten reports he goes to Hillsong in L.A., the Dream Center. He's going to Judah Smith, which is a pastor. And what he's actually doing, he's getting a mentor. And he's written a song and his CD, latest release. What is it called? Anybody?
I only listen to Christian music.
Get this. It's called Beat It. No, I'm just kidding. It's not. Oh, that's the wrong artist. Sorry about that. Get this. It's called Purpose. It's called Purpose. And he writes a song about he lost the meaning of life. And he says, it's time to bid farewell to my past. This journey seems like it's come to an end, but it's time to bid farewell to my past friends. I wish them well, but there's one thing that's brought me meaning more than anything. And he says, you give me purpose. That's what I lost, my purpose. Now, as you back serving the Lord, in many cases, in many interviews I hear, he's getting strong back in his faith. Because, you know, he started off as a Christian in youth group and everything. Purpose. Fulfilling our purpose. It's things will die in your life. Things have to die to you. Suffer the Kim's son. What's your name again? Isaiah. Isaiah's been on a football scholarship, and he landed recently that he's not going to play anymore. He's done with football. And I remember the days because I was doing the same thing with baseball, and I actually died to baseball because that was my dream. I built my whole foundation was I was going to play pro baseball, go through college, and go play pro. And my brother, I'm sure at one time that was your aspiration, man. If I could make it, maybe. But his season, his journey with football, he feels like he lost the joy, lost the meaning, lost the. You know, and he wants to have some brain cells. And grandma said, but there's certain, but there's some things. I know Pastor Steve had the same aspirations to play football and go further with that too. But there's certain things that will die in your life as Moses had to because, guys, there's greater things. Hear me out. There's greater things of destiny that have to happen in your life. Amen. If we get fixated upon our own personal desires, which not all the time are bad, but we can miss the call of God. Amen. And God tells Joshua, Moses is dead. You don't feel qualified, but arise and amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. Verse 10 says, Paul's talking, he says, I'm always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Do you know there's when things die in your life, you'll manifest Christ if you go through it the right way and understand purpose. For we who live are always delivered to death for who? Jesus' sake. get this, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. There are things that have to die, but it's not a bad thing. It's because the purpose of God. There's a promised land, and God's calling every one of us. We'll all get there at different times, but run your race. Run the purpose. Amen. Don't get anchored and immobile. Amen. Number two, to inherit our inheritance. To inherit our inheritance. Number two is you have to know what God has given you. Know what God has given you. Verse 3, it says from Exodus. It says, every place that the sole of your feet will tread upon, I have given you. Notice, it's past tense. I have. Did you know we have to live our life? Even though things, that's the eye of faith, to understand some things have already been given to you. Well, I don't experience it. No. It begins with faith. You live like you have it. That's what faith does. It says, I have given to you, as I said to Moses, verse 4, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, get this, shall be your territory. Notice verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. He commissions him, and I love that. I will never leave you. I won't forsake you. And I just want to say, the promised land, guys, is the land of I can. What do you mean, I can? Well, because when we look at our own talents and our own personal resources, our natural tendencies is to say, I can't. Can you do this? I can't. Are you able to handle this promotion? I can't. Can you make this team? I don't know. I can't. I can't. Can you make your marriage work? I can't. Can, right? And sometimes, can you forgive? No, but the promised land is the land of I can. Can I overcome temptations that have had me captive for years? I can. That's what the promised land is. It's the land of I can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Just real quickly, advancement and moving forward is paramount to obtaining our inheritance. We got to advance. You may not know how to witness, but just do it. You'll learn. The Holy Spirit will teach you. Amen. I don't know how to shine the light. Just obey Christ. I don't know how to be disciplined. I can. I can. Amen. That the promised land is the ability of God to do what he requires. Amen. So the first thing we see, we have to move forward. We have to advance. The next thing that we saw from this text that I just read is the Lord tells Joshua how vast this dream is. Can I share something? God has a vast, mega dream for your life. Huge. And it will unfold as we continue to advance and obey him. Amen? So that's what I believe God was telling Moses, man, from the Euphrates to the sea to the desert. I mean, it's huge. So God wants us to understand the immensity of his calling, therefore wanting us to dream bigger. Amen? And then he goes on to say, no man can stop you. No man will be able. You'll think of all the reasons why you can't do what God has called you to do. And the Lord says, not a man can stop you. Not a man can stop you. But you know what? I want to wind this down. Are you getting something from the Lord on this? I hope so. Inherit your inheritance. And you know what? I could have preached it, but I love his writing, and I'm taking some quotes from Max Lucado, and he wrote about entering our promised land. And Max Lucado is probably, again, he's one of those guys who can paint a picture with his words. You can see exactly how he describes a setting. And I want to read this to you. It's a little bit lengthy, but I'm going to read it. Pay attention because there's some scriptures. And babe, we got the scriptures there. As I read, I'll quote a scripture, write it down, because it talks about what your inheritance is. Translates what Joshua was facing in the Old Testament, but come over into the New Testament, we can see what inheritance we have now. Because we always have this, well, one day, maybe I can be a joyful person. One day, maybe the anointing, I can pray for people and my prayers will be. One day, and we have this in the futuristic approach instead of a now. And I think God wants us to know, he tells us things because he wants us to possess it. Not later, but now. So listen to this. Max Lucado writes, we all have an inheritance if you've given your heart to Christ. God has given you every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That's Ephesians 1:3. Note the tense. He has blessed. Not he will bless. He might bless or someday possibly bless. No, the promised land property has been placed in your name. The courthouse records have been changed. God has already given you Canaan. Canaan is the promised land. You already have everything you need to be everything God desires. You have access to every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. This well may be the best kept secret in Christendom. We underestimate what happened to us upon conversion. As one writer observed, many Christians view the conversion as something like a car wash. You go in a filthy clunker, you come out with your sins washed away. A conversion is more than the removal of sin. It's a deposit of power. It is as if your high mileage two-cylinder engine extracted and a brand new Ferrari engine was mounted in your frame. God removed the old motor, caked and cracked and broken, rebellion and evil, and replaced it with humming, roaring version of himself. He embedded within you the essence of Christ. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You and I are fully equipped. Need more self-control, self-discipline, or self-confidence? God will equip you with all you need for doing his will. Hebrews 13:21 in the New Living Translation says, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. 2 Peter 1:3, New Living Translation. Glory days begin with a paradigm shift. In the promised land, you don't fight for victory, you fight from a place of victory. In the wilderness, you strive, in Canaan, you trust. In the wilderness, you seek God's attention. In Canaan, you already have God's favor. In the wilderness, you doubt your salvation. In Canaan, the promised land, you know you are saved. You move from wanting to have to believing you have it already. When you were born into Christ, when you were born into Christ, you were placed in God's family. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. That's John chapter 1, verse 12. Since you are part of the family, you have access to the family blessings. All of them. In him also we have obtained an inheritance. Ephesians 1:11. Surprised? You ain't heard nothing yet. Another passage from the Apostle Paul describes the value of your portfolio. The Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That's Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. We are joint heirs with Christ. The Greek term in the passage is we share the same inheritance as Christ. Our portion isn't pittance. We don't inherit leftover. We don't wear hand-me-downs. We are left out in the cold with... We are not left out in the cold with distant cousins. In the traditional of Paul's day, the firstborn received the double portion while the rest of the siblings divvied it up as a remainder. Not so with Christ. Our standing in the world is identical with Christ. Listen to this, 1 John 4:17 in the Message. It says, Christ's portion is our portion. Whatever he has, we have. Think what this means. Jesus cashed checks out of the boundless account. Grudges didn't corrode him. Despair didn't control him. Mood swings couldn't touch his joy. His conviction was bulletproof. He was Fort Knox of faith. And when we give our hearts to him, he hands us his checkbook. And then he goes on, wow, how can we explain? If we have all this inheritance, what's the problem? Why don't we live in this life of the promised land? And basically, he says two things. Either you don't know about it, so ignorance is not a blessing. Ignorance of the word of God is not a blessing. You can't be have ignorance toward the promises of your inheritance. That's why you got to know the book and lay claim of it for yourself. Or the second reason, it says, you know about it, you just refuse to believe it. As point one was, arise and go. But if you don't believe it, you'll just kind of place it there and not walk it out. We have an inheritance in Christ. Amen. In Ephesians 1, 19 and 20, we have power. God's power is very great for us who believe. The power is the same as the great strength God used when he raised Christ from the dead. Again, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. And then he closes out the chapter with this. We can no longer say, I can't do in the promised land, but I can. Because Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. Are you confronted with difficult times in your life? Are you confronted with difficult projects at work? Are you confronted with difficult relationships? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. We have an inheritance. We must possess it. Again, ignorance is not your friend. We have to be in the Word to know what belongs to us. Amen. It already belongs to you. We walk it out. Come on, did you get something from the Lord on that? Praise the Lord.